right, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10 this morning. Mark chapter 10. It's good to be here with you today, and you're singing great. I love hearing the singing. Happy faces and all of that. Yeah, recuperated from Sunday a little bit. Nice long day. I heard about a lady named Gladys Dunn. She went to a new church, and she was sitting there listening to the message, and she didn't know anybody. It was just the message was going on and on and on, and everybody's falling asleep around her. And finally, when the service ended, she turned, and she had a smile on her face at least. She turned to her neighbor next to her and said, "Hi, I'm glad it's done." And the old man, sleepy, said, "You and me both." So if you're sitting next to Gladys Dunn this morning, you're lucky. A smiling face. All right. Mark chapter 10, verse 4. Some of you saw that one coming before I got to the end. All right. Mark chapter 10, verse number 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." I have a very practical message this morning, and I really received a blessing from just thinking these things over. I want to preach a message this morning. I've entitled "A Burden for Ministry." A burden for ministry. A practical message that we should have the right attitude towards ministry, not our ministry. As in, you know, sometimes we get real flippant with that. This is my ministry, so I fulfill my ministry. I want you to think of this morning Christ's attitude towards ministry in general. And we're going to look at this idea this morning. Let's open in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time where we can meet and be challenged from your word. I pray, God, as the word, as your word goes forth this morning, that it would convict hearts and that you would stir us up. Help us, Lord, to have the right philosophy. Help us to think the right way about ministry. And we pray, God, that you'll stir us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Perfect example of the ministry of Christ. I'm going to have you turn to the book of John, chapter 4, if you would. John, chapter 4. Jesus here is passing through Samaria. I was looking here recently with the Old Testament survey students at the maps, and they always know that I enjoy maps. Jesus went north from Jerusalem up through Samaria, a very unlikely direction to go up through the mountains and the valleys and to find his way up through Samaria. It's much easier to go out to the Jordan Valley and up the coast. It was also not a very likely place for him to go visit because they didn't get along typically. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't like each other. And Jesus, look on down at verse number 27, I've gotten ahead of myself. Jesus had spent a lot of time here already dealing with the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, as we call this story many times. And he's spent a lot of time witnessing to her, and she is, of course, impressed that he knows her background. And she runs into town, and while she goes into town, look at verse number 27. "Here come the disciples. Upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, 'What seekest thou?' or 'Why talkest thou with her?' The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, 'Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.' But he said unto them, 'I have meat to eat that ye know not of.' Therefore said the disciples one to another, 'Hath him any man brought him aught to eat?' Jesus saith unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." You notice the word labor shows up a lot here. It's work. Ministry is work. Jesus went out of his way to go through Samaria to minister to this lady. As we read in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Minister constantly. All that Jesus did during his earthly ministry was minister to people. He went around and found people, and this is so fresh in all of our minds because here we are in the middle of the fall push, going around finding people to talk to and to share the gospel with, to minister to them. In our society, it's become very easy to do certain things. I know you think about in the Old West, how hard it was to go west. And the challenge was for strong people, men and women and families, to go west. I mean, it would take months to get there. So only the strongest people went. It wasn't just an easy thing to do. Over time, of course, it became much easier with the railroads heading out and so on like that. The same thing is true, I think, for example, in the missionary realm, mission work. It used to be, you know, you read the stories of Adoniram Judson and 1, 2, 3 wives dying on the field, one after, you know, not at a time, one after the other. And he you know, travels for months on a ship to get there and on and on. And now, you know, my brother is in Cambodia and we talk to him, you know, every couple weeks we call him up and we look at him while we're talking to him and on. It's just a lot easier. He's coming back next year and to visit and so on. It's just a lot easier to get back and forth. And the point is that it doesn't take the real commitment like it used to. And so a lot of people say, yeah, I'd like to be a missionary. But they don't realize what it takes. Or I'd like to go into full-time service because, man, if I go into full-time service, I'm going to get to speak in front of big crowds and everybody's going to, you know, cheer for me and tell about how great of a preacher I am. And it's just not the case. That's just not reality. Jesus here gives us a perfect illustration of what real ministry is. I think of the itinerant preachers in early America traveling around on horseback, Sheffy and others like that. Traveling around, what dedication, what commitment it took. We ought to have that same type. I know it's not as hard as it used to be, but we should have commitment to ministry like they did, like Jesus did. A dedication to whatever God tells us to do, a surrender to whatever God wants for us, a burden for ministry. First of all, I want to look at what is ministry this morning. What is ministry? Ministry, the word, of course, means to be a servant. Or to minister to people, to do what it takes, to be waited, I'm sorry, to wait upon people. Okay? You go to a restaurant and you expect to be waited on. And if they don't wait very good on you, you know, you kind of take it out of their tip maybe. Listen, we ought to be waiting on people, be serving others. Ministry is people. Ministry is people. Ministry is sometimes great multitudes of people, right? This past weekend, my little second grade junior church class, you know, the A route second grade, 81 kids in there, you know, packed wall to wall. And the other bus captains or junior church workers could say the same thing, I'm sure. Just lots and lots of people. And sometimes those people aren't really coming just to listen. And you got to work with them, and you got to deal with the ones that are not listening. But Jesus constantly had great multitudes. I mentioned this with the guys in our devos the other night. Great multitudes. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus had lots of people following him for the wrong reasons. So we ought to not worry about, we ought to teach the gospel and get great multitudes in. There's nothing wrong with that. Ministry is people. Ministry is problems. Lots of problems. Here comes the maniac of Gadara. How'd you like to deal with that? Ministry brings lots of people with lots of problems. But that's good. Ministry is helping people with their needs. Sometimes, most of the time, spiritual needs, but sometimes physical needs. What did Jesus, when he was feeding the 5,000, right? The disciples said, send them away. And Jesus said, no, no, no. Give ye them to eat. Physical needs sometimes are involved. Sometimes you fork out some money to help somebody that you really, you know, you feel like, I don't have as much money as they do. But I want to help them. I want to show them that I care. Ministry is helping people with needs. Ministry is demanding. It's taxing. We're in the middle of the fall push. You're like me when you're running around the lake and you're giving it all you have. You don't run like that all the time. You know, when you're out running by yourself, you know, you kind of go your own pace maybe. But when you're in a race, you push. But you don't keep going like that forever. Ministry, there's times of lots of demand, and then there's times where you renew yourselves and you gain your strength back. Boy, you get out there on the weekend and you push and you're excited and you do all that you can, and then you renew yourself and you gain your strength back. I think there's a real danger. I don't know how to say it, but there's a lot of people who talk about burnout these days. The problem with people getting quote-unquote burned out is that they never gain their strength back. They never take the time with the Lord. The Bible talks a lot about renewing yourself in the Lord. So ministry, there's times where it's very demanding. Then there's other times where you get away. Jesus did that constantly. He was going out with the people and working on them. Then he'd get on a boat and he'd sleep. And he'd go on up in the mountain and he'd pray. So we got to have that mentality also. Ministry is demanding at times. Ministering is waiting on people, as I mentioned already. How can I help our ministry be profitable? You ought to ask yourself that question with the ministry that's been assigned to you. How can I be profitable? How can I wait on somebody? What should I bring to the ministry? What should I do for my bus route? Constantly, you should be thinking about what you can do next. You know, I've always laughed about people, you know. Some people, they get on my bus, workers, they get on my bus and they think that their job is to sit there with a little kid. Well, that's good. That's a start. But you got to do more than that. You got to get up and help. You got to think. I always tell my bus workers, I want you to think. This is scary. Think like me. Okay, that's scary. Think like your bus captain. Think like your nursing home leader. What do they want me to do next? What can I help in next? What ways can I be a blessing, not just to the leaders, but to the kids or to the old folks at the nursing home? What can I do? What is my responsibility, not just the ministry? What child, you might ask yourself, is having a difficult time? Listen, you sit there on the bus, or you stand there on the bus, and you look out at people. You're in your junior church or your Sunday school class, and you look at people, and you see a little kid having a hard time. As soon as you see that, that becomes your ministry. Nobody else might see it, but you can see it. You go over to the little boy or little girl. Hey, what's going on? Can I help you with something? How you doing? You talk to them. They might open up to you. Listen, as soon as you see somebody they're having a hard time, that's your ministry. What are my responsibilities? They might be assigned to you so that things run smoothly. Every person is involved in ministering to souls. Every person, even though you might not be the one reaping, even though you might not be the one getting the harvest, you can sow, you can be a blessing. The big picture is that some sow, some water, and others reap. So we ought to all do our part. You know, I was thinking about the simple little responsibilities that come with your ministry. Bringing candy. Say, well, why? You know, if I forget candy, well, you want the kids to listen. If they're not listening, they're not going to get the message. Every part is important. You tell the story, or you have your object lesson. I had a bus worker one time, and he's doing real good now. We've joked about this many, many times. He didn't have his object lesson repeatedly. And so one time, this has been many years ago, he came to the bus after church, and I said, "Where's your object lesson?" And he said, "I forgot." And I just remember, I just looked around on the bus, and I grabbed the broom. And I said, "Here, take this broom, and you talk about something." And he got up for like 20 seconds, you know, and I don't remember what he did even. But I wanted him to, and he's many times laughed about it now, but I want you to understand that your responsibility that's assigned to you is very important. Everything, it is a part of the big picture. Whether you're directly witnessing to somebody or indirectly doing your little responsibility, like marking hands. You know, you mark those hands. Boy, we've all made mistakes. If you've been around the bus minister very long, I had a kid one time, somehow his hand didn't have a number on it. And he got on the wrong bus. How do you deal? I mean, that's a big problem. Obviously, mama's not very happy. And she wasn't. And that boy didn't come back to church for a long time. Everything that is assigned to you is a part of that big picture, and you ought to take it seriously. Everything, the nursing home, every area, the Sunday school. Another thing about the ministry, it's often difficult. Ministry is difficult. Sometimes you ride those high mountaintops, like the fall push. And then other times you're like, "Man, where in the world is everybody?" You ride the valleys. Ministry is difficult, but you know what? So is life. So is everything that we do. So is raising children someday for you. So is balancing school and work. All of that's difficult. I mean, what are you going to do? Go hide in a cave somewhere so you don't have any challenges to face? That's a part of preparation for your ministry someday. Ministry is often difficult. So that's what some things about what the ministry is. Secondly, who's called to minister? Who's called to minister? Is it only those who God specifically calls to preach? No. Is it only those who are in full-time service? Of course not. Everyone is called, or once you become a Christian, you are in the line of ministering to people. You should take that responsibility very seriously. Everyone is called to minister. 1 Peter chapter 2. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Why? "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The word minister means to be a servant. It's from the same word as the word deacon comes from. Now, today in our day, we have a deacon as an office also. But all of us should be deacons in the sense that we're serving others and ministering to others. The work of God requires lots of labors. Turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse number 7. Here in James chapter 5, verse 7. Work of God requires laborers, workers. Our church and you as a part of it, you get to be a part of a lot of work, a lot of labor. And you, of course, and it's always been true around here, you know, that you get asked to help with things. And sometimes you're too busy, but you ought to try as much as you can to get involved and to help whenever you can. I know there's times where you're busy or going to work or whatever and things like that, but the work requires lots of laborers. James chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." I grew up on a farm. And being on our farm, we didn't have all of the big equipment that they have nowadays. Nowadays, of course, the tractors are humongous and the machinery is very, very big. I come from a family of 10 kids for a reason. We needed workers. We needed people to milk the cows and on and on. Back then, of course, we were Amish, so we were trying to get a lot of things done by hand. Horses, my brothers, they got to go out when they were 8, 9, 10 years old with a team of 4 horses working in the field all day. I didn't ever have to do that. I milked cows and other things, but it was a lot of workers. It required a lot of laborers. The work of God also requires patient laborers. As a farmer, coming from a farming background, we were always taught patience. The weather didn't cooperate necessarily all the time. Everything wasn't just exactly, you didn't just say, well, I'm going to plant in the beginning of May, and the first week in July or August, we're going to harvest. You didn't know that. You waited to see what the weather was going to do. You waited to see what, the cost of fertilizer was and so on. There was a lot of things that went into it. You learned patience. You learned that you weren't in control. And listen, when we're in our ministry, give those people a chance. Give them a break a little bit. Well, that kid is bad. I remember somebody saying, man, that kid is terrible. We need to kick him up. Whoa. Be patient. We need patience. How many of us have had times where we should have had, I remember a few times where I needed that. Boy, I need somebody to be patient with me. And we need to understand the ministry isn't just, boom, 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 everything's going to click along. There's going to be times where we need some patience. We need lots of laborers, everyone, ladies, men, teenage girls and boys. Listen, all of us have a responsibility to minister to others. Jesus taught his disciples washing their feet. That wasn't we're not supposed to wash each other's feet today, thank goodness. But the lesson is there to minister to others. If Jesus can get down and wash some smelly feet, there's nothing beneath us. That's good. If I need to go into somebody's house and help them get ready, I got to be careful. I'm not saying it's as easy as it used to be. But we ought to be, that's not stooping down. That's just doing our duty. That's just being a minister to others. If I need to bring some food on the bus so that a kid comes on there and says, my stomach hurts, I'm hungry, I have it for him. Simple little things. That's not beneath me. That's not beneath you. Caring for people. Work of God requires lots of laborers. Third, I want to talk about preparing for the ministry and your ministry. I'm not talking about in the long, distant future. How should you prepare for your ministry, maybe even on a weekly basis? Think about a few of these things. I thought as I wrote these down, it's a good reminder for me to keep in focus what I'm doing in my ministry. First of all, I want to point out that the focus of every week is Sunday, Saturday and Sunday. That's the focus of my week. Everything else is important. It's important what I do on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. But the focus of my week is Sunday and Saturday because of Sunday. So we're focusing ahead. We're focusing on what's important. That's our opportunity. And by the way, ministry goes much beyond that. Your ministry takes place in your dorm rooms. Ministering, if there's a need, you help each other. Ministry takes place in the home, teenagers. Ministry takes place with your parents. You ought to constantly be thinking as a servant anyway. But when we're talking about a ministry on Sunday, boy, that ought to be our focus. Our excitement is directed that way. Everything's done in preparation for Sunday. Saturday night is very, very important. Saturday, you ought to set that day aside. I tell my kids that ride my bus, listen, Saturday night, you can't stay up late. You got to go to bed on time. Why? Because you got to get up. And not only do you have to get up, but you got to stay awake in church. So we ought to have that same mentality that Saturday is important. Boy, I'm going to protect it. I'm not going to go do other things. For us, I mean, we never go out to eat on Saturday nights. Why? Because we've got other things we're preparing for. Saturday is important. I'm preparing for my ministry. I'm thinking. Even if, you know, we're not out there all day Saturday soul winning and spreading out gospel. I mean, we do that, but I'm saying there's other things also. Man, we're in the mode. We're thinking about what's important on Sunday. We're thinking about who needs to be there tomorrow. I am all the time. Who should be here tomorrow? And you pray that way, and you call them on Saturday night. Hey, just making sure, you know, that you're, we missed you today. If that's the case, I missed you today when I was out visiting, but I want to make sure you're there. Everything is in focus for Sunday. So we block Saturday aside. As you get ready for the program, boy, you're getting your girls, I know a lot of the girls and the guys, I guess, I can do it also, make nice verse tokens. What is that? That's all preparation. Boy, when you forget something like that, it shows, number one, that you're not in focus for Sunday, but also it shows that you're not thinking about people and you're not, in general, having a servant's attitude. Well, you got to think ahead. You got to plan ahead. It ought to be a part of your week. The verses, the game, the treat. You're thinking about things. Make sure that everything's ready to go. You spend time praying through your ministry. You have people in your nursing home that are about to die and go to hell if they're not saved. And you're just bebopping around and you never think about them except on Saturday when you get to the nursing home. Then you're like, oh yeah, that guy needs to be saved too. No, no. All week thinking about that. If you think that your job, now think about this. If you think that your job on any given Sunday is only what's on your assignment schedule, you're missing it.
Right.
You're missing it. Oh, this week I have candy. So you bring your candy and you go sit on the bus. You're not fulfilling your responsibility. Not, you might be fulfilling your responsibility to the bus captain as far as the schedule goes, but you're not fulfilling your responsibility to God. No. Ministering to people. If you think your job is supplying verse tokens and then sitting on a bus, that's not enough. Every one of us can do more, should be looking to do more, seeing people and their needs. It's amazing how the disciples, and they're just like us in this way, man, they were just blind to people's needs sometimes. And some of us, teenagers alike, well, we go through and we're just oblivious to people's needs. Boy, Lord, may the Lord open our eyes to see the need of people. And to do what we can. Listen, I'm just a human being. We're all just human beings. But if we can see other people's needs and be a help to them, boy, I mean, everything just takes on, life takes on a new purpose, a new meaning. You know, if your life is boring or you're without purpose and you say, well, I don't know what I'm doing here, really. I'm just here, I guess, to learn the Bible. Boy, your life can take on purpose when you bring somebody to church yourself and you work with them.
Amen.
And you try to help them, your life, I mean, I'm telling you, your Sundays will take on new meaning. It's not just your bus captain's job. It's not just your ministry leader's job to do something. It's your job.
Amen.
God calls you to minister.
Amen.
You might have to visit someone during the week. You might spend extra time with someone in a Bible study. God wants us to go and minister. We have to be careful of this attitude that everything has to be exactly right before I can go into the ministry. I have to be out of college. I have to have a diploma. I have to have my finances exactly right before I can do this, or I have to have all my support exactly where I've seen missionaries. They never go on the field because they never raise enough support. Listen, Jesus sent his disciples out without script, without a bunch of food. And I'm not saying we should do all of, you know, but Jesus sent them out to live by faith, and I know that principle is still here. We should go minister by faith. I'm nothing. I can't do much, but through God's help, I can. I know missionaries who make $60,000 a year plus. They don't go soul winning. They hardly ever preach. That's not God's type of mission work. Okay? That's the social gospel. That's the social missionary type work. But God calls us to more than that. If that's all that life is going out and spreading out medicine, I'm not saying it's bad, but my goodness, we have the truth. And we have much more than that, and we sit around and sit on our hands. Next, I want to talk about how to fulfill your ministry. Three things. These are just simple concepts, simple thoughts. First of all, be responsible. Be responsible. Take your responsibilities seriously. Prepare responsibly. This is something serious. I'm going to get ready for this. I'm going to pray over this. There's a kid that needs this. There's an old folk in the nursing home that needs this. Some of you, when you get out into the ministry someday, I hope you think like this. There's somebody in my church that needs this. You say, well, that's picking up. No. You're seeing the need and preaching on the need. Acts 20:31. This is one example. Let's turn over there. Acts chapter 20, verse 31. One example of the Apostle Paul, and you'll probably recognize this, that he says this often throughout his epistles. Acts 20, 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What's he doing? He's taking his responsibility to preach the gospel very seriously. I mean, every church he went to and established, he writes back and he says, man, you remember what I was like when I was there? Boy, I was all focused on you. I was preaching to you. I was warning you with tears. This is to the Ephesian elders. But in many of the epistles, he uses that idea that I warned you. I didn't cease to warn you all the time I was with you. That's what our ministry is like. A seriousness. We take that responsibility very seriously. Not only should we be responsible, but we should be diligent, doing all that we can. We ought to be aware, looking to help with anything that we can. Now, when you walk into church, do you just walk in to say, okay, minister to me? I mean, that's how a lot of people, they come in the church and they just sit down and say, minister to me. Now, what can you do to minister to somebody else? Who are the happy people? I'm getting ahead of myself. Who are the happiest people? They're the working people. They're the serving people. That's my last main point. What are the blessings of ministry? The blessings of ministry. I got to wrap up. Paul said to those at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 says, ye are our glory and joy. If you go back a few, the previous chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, he says the exact same thing he said in Acts chapter 20. I cease not to warn you night and day with tears. Boy, I put everything I had into you. And what's the result? Ye are our glory and joy. You'll have purpose when you see somebody saved, when you see somebody's life changed. It'll give you something. Boy, this is exciting. And I've seen it many times with people in here. Boy, you finally get a hold of this thing of who can I have an influence on? Boy, your life just completely opens up. New meaning. The happiest people are those who are serving others. You want to get something done, ask somebody who's busy. I've always heard that phrase. But you want to find a happy person, you find a busy person. A person who's working to help others. Even teenagers. Boy, teenagers are sitting around on their hands. They walk around. I don't know what's going on. You know, I don't really have anything worth my time. You know, I don't know. Life is much more than that. 2 Corinthians 5:9. The Bible says that we labor that we may be accepted of Him. Listen, when we labor and work for the Lord, we're accepted of Him. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Listen, God doesn't forget that. That's something that God pays attention to. What did Jesus say? When we go to the poor and the blind and the lame, and we're kind to them, that we're ministering to Jesus Christ. Listen, that puts some seriousness on our ministry. Don't just think of the ministry as something out there after college. Don't just think of your ministry as belonging to the bus captain or the teacher or whatever. It's your ministry. This is an opportunity for you. It's not, you know, just recently it was pointed out again to me how privileged it is that I get to have a bus to use to go out to Merrillville and pick up people for church and to preach to them. That is a big privilege. Not many people have that opportunity to have a whole bunch of people on one bus and preach to them. Listen, you ought to look at the ministry that you have the same way. Those people that you deal with, teenagers, the people you deal with, are your ministry. What are you doing for it? Don't just look at the big, oh, that's their problem. No, this is me. This is my ministry. And I want to make a statement. If you aren't concerned about the ministry that you have now to people, then you probably aren't going to be concerned about it when you leave from here. What kind of ministry do you have right now? Oh, I don't know. It's not my... No, it is your job. We're all ministers. We saw that. We're all laborers together. This is the harvest field. The field is the world, the Bible says. We're all a part of it. And our job, every one of us, is to go out as laborers into that field. You see somebody, you see somebody, you see a little kid has a need. Boy, you deal with that kid. You talk to him. You take a personal interest in him. How can I help them? That's ministry. What ministry does God give you? What are you doing with it? I want to challenge you with that thought this morning. Let's have heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around, please. As the piano plays here in a few minutes, I'd like for you to just think about what impact that you can have. God's called you to a ministry. Might not be very obvious to you until today, but what ministry has God called you to? And then would you answer that call to minister to people? Let's have let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to pray, and as soon as I finish praying, if you'd like to come to the altar, you can do so. Lord, I thank you so much for what you've taught me through this idea of ministering, and help us, Lord, to always be looking for needs, looking for people that have a burden on their heart, and what we can do to help fulfill that. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As the piano plays, you come. Thank you.